I have the privilege of reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 5, verses 15 through chapter 6, verse 9. Exodus, chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 9. So the Israelite foreman went in and cried for help to Pharaoh. "Why are you treating your servants this way? No straw has been given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' Look, your servants are being beaten, but it is your own people who are at fault." But he said, "You are slackers, slackers. That is why you are saying, 'Let us go sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must produce the same quantity of bricks." The Israelite foreman saw that they were in trouble when they were told, "You cannot reduce your daily quota of bricks." When they left Pharaoh, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who stood waiting to meet them. "May the Lord take note of you and judge," they said to them, "because you have made us reek in front of Pharaoh and his officials, putting a sword in their hand to kill us." So Moses went back to the Lord and asked, "Lord, why have you caused trouble for this people, and why did you ever send me? Ever since I went into Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has caused trouble for this people, and you haven't delivered your people at all." But the Lord replied to Moses, "Now you are going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. He will let them go because of my strong hand. He will drive them out of his land because of my strong hand." Then God spoke to Moses, telling him, "I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but I did not make my name Yahweh known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land they lived in as foreigners. Furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are forcing to work as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, tell the Israelites, 'I am Yahweh, and I will deliver you from the forced labor of the Egyptians and free you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Yahweh, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses told this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and hard labor. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his word.
So the dance begins between God and Satan, between Moses and Pharaoh. And Moses is true to what God tells him to do. Moses confronts Pharaoh. And Pharaoh responds, "I'm going to impose so many restrictions and regulations on them that they're not even going to be able to listen to what Moses said. They're going to be so preoccupied." Brilliant. "Impose heavier work on them," 5:9. "And impose heavier work on the men, then they will be occupied with it," with it and not pay attention to deceptive words, to what Moses is saying. How are you doing with that? You find yourself in verse 5:9? So, we pick up the story here. The Israelite foremen, these are Israelites, understand. These are Israelites that are foremen over their own people. You see verse 19 in chapter 5? The Israelite foremen, they go and they say to Pharaoh, you know, it's not our fault that we can't make the bricks because your people have withheld straw from us. And Pharaoh turns around and says, that's not the problem. The problem is that you're slackers. You're slackers. So the Israelite foremen leave Pharaoh's presence. Now look what's happening here in the church today. Verse 20. When they left Pharaoh, they confronted Moses and Aaron. And I love that. Who stood waiting to meet them? Moses and Aaron. No, they're having this meeting. Moses and Aaron then are proactive, and they're waiting to meet the Israelite foreman as they come out from their meeting with Pharaoh. Verse 21. Look what they do to Moses. May the Lord take note of you and judge, they said to them, because you have made us reek in front of Pharaoh and his officials. You're putting a sword in their hand to kill us. You know what's happened to the church? This has happened to the church. And if you bring it, you're going to have people within the church that are going to come to you and say, you know, we really need to be liked by the culture. We need to be friends with the culture. We look kind of odd to them when you come on this strong and you preach this way and you just give the straight word of God. It's really making us look bad. And our goal, our objective also anyway, is to cousin up to the culture and to be accepted by the culture and to have the culture like us. We're looking like oddballs to the culture. You've got to stop preaching this way. They confront Moses and Aaron. They're upset at Moses and Aaron. Even though Moses and Aaron have told them earlier on quite plainly, we met with Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Isaac. We met with Yahweh himself, and he has told us to give this message. And they have none of it. The Israelite foreman will have none of that. You know why? It took them out of their comfort zone. Is that happening today? So, what does Moses do? Verse 22 of chapter 5. So, Moses went back to the Lord. That's appropriate. Absolutely. So, Moses went back to the Lord and asked some two pertinent questions. You know who else asked these questions? And this is where the similarities between Moses and I begin and end. I ask these same two questions. You know, if you try to be true to the word and not distill it, these two questions come to mind, and they come to Moses' mind. Lord, why have you caused trouble? And look what Moses says, for this people. Don't you, isn't that interesting? Moses is distancing himself here from these people. This people. And why did you ever send me? I mean, nothing's happening. In fact, the opposite is happening. We're getting into trouble. Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, You know, you remember, God, now I trusted in you. I listened to you, and I went in and I did what you said. I spoke in your name, and nothing but trouble has come. Now, I'm going to give a warning to some people. I call it informed consent. I give my patients informed consent. This is what you need to know before you embark on this road. Informed consent. Here's informed consent for you. If you leave or attempt to leave Egypt, he's coming for you. He, Pharaoh, Satan, is coming for you. And there's a chance, there's a very high chance that you're going to run into some difficulties and some rocky waters, and that's exactly what Pharaoh and Satan are depending upon. And when you speak in his name, in God's name, it is not benign. It's absolutely true that when you invoke the name of Yahweh, you invoke the name of the Lord, it's going to stir things up. It's going to stir things up in your life personally. It's going to stir things up in your marriage. It's going to stir things up in your occupation and your vocation. Please be aware of that, and please be ready for that, and please know that when that happens to you, it is confirmatory. It's confirmatory to you that you are on the right trail. When these Israelite foremen come to Moses and Aaron, and they confront them, and they say, "You're making us reek in front of Pharaoh," it was nothing but confirmatory to Moses and Aaron that they are doing exactly what God had called them to do. Every sin of went to Pharaoh, speak in your name, he has caused trouble for, again, this people. And you, God, you haven't delivered your people at all. Do you ever feel that way? You bring something to God. You're listening to God. You're being prayerful. You're in the Word. And still, you have, God, where are you? You haven't delivered your people at all. Moses is saying, "I kept my end of the deal. Where are you, God?" Verse 6 is very interesting, of chapter 6. No, I'm sorry, chapter 5. But the Lord replied to Moses. Now, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. There's no details given here, but it's ominous, isn't it? That's an ominous statement when the Lord says that to Moses and Aaron. And then what's going to happen? He, Pharaoh, following here, chapter 6, verse 1. But he will let them go because of my strong hand. He will drive them out of his land because of my strong hand. God's saying to Aaron and Moses, you know, actually, I was expecting this. I knew this was going to happen. Now you need to watch what's going to happen. You did your part, Moses. You did your part, Aaron. Now, Pharaoh, I'm going to deal with him. And I'm going to deal with him in such a way that he is going to do exactly what he said he was never going to do. Do you remember what Pharaoh said he was never going to do? But Pharaoh, back in chapter 5, verse 2, but Pharaoh responds when they first confront Pharaoh. Pharaoh responds, "Who is Yahweh that I should obey him by letting Israel go?" You see, I don't know anything about Yahweh. This is the arrogance of Pharaoh. Now, you watch what happens to Pharaoh. You watch how God deals with him. "I don't know anything about Yahweh. And besides, even if I did, I will never let Israel go." And God is saying here to Moses and Aaron, "You're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. And that arrogant statement that he made back there a few verses back, where he said he doesn't care who I am or what I say, or he's going to do exactly what he wants. He said, I'm going to deal with Pharaoh, and in fact, he is going to be the one. Pharaoh is actually going to beg you to leave. Pharaoh is going to be the one who is actually going to drive you out of your own land, and he's going to do that because of my strong hand. Now, I submit something to you. And here's where maybe it's a little political. I'm going to submit something to you. We are about to see what God is going to do to our Pharaoh. Do you understand how far off the rails our country has gone? Do you understand the evil that is running this nation? Do you understand that we have a Pharaoh who says, I don't care what Yahweh says? I submit to you that we are about to see what God is going to do to our Pharaoh. And the arrogance displayed by the leaders who make laws against us, are going to be brought before this strong hand of our God, and he's going to deal with them. Now, this message is very appropriate and very contemporary, and I hope that the pastors across this nation will have the guts to stand up and say this kind of thing to their congregations. I hope the pastors in this nation have the courage to understand that we are not here to look good to the world, that we do reek before the culture, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We are not supposed to compromise with them, individually, as families, or as a church. Now the story tightens. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. Therefore, here's the certitude of God. He says, Moses, I'm going to deal with Pharaoh. You're going to see what I'm going to do. You don't know yet. It's ominous. I'm going to do such a thing to him that he's actually going to do my bidding for me. Therefore, knowing that, Moses, here's what you are to do. Tell the Israelites. Well, who are they? Well, they're the enslaved ones. They're the enslaved ones. And therefore, because I'm going to do this to Pharaoh, you go tell them something. You go tell the enslaved ones something for me. I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. And therefore, six things are going to happen. Do you know that I need that reminder? Pastor Davis, I need that reminder, and sometimes that's the only reminder I need. He's Yahweh. And therefore, here's what you enslaved ones can expect. Number one, I will deliver you. I will. From the forced labor of the Egyptians. Number two, free you from slavery to them. Number three, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. Number four, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You remember when we started that We read that very thing in Revelation chapter 21, and I said, this is the ending that Scripture is straining to look for. This is the ending that the Bible is in search of, that kind of relationship happens, that He is our God, and we become His people. And here is Yahweh telling Moses, and listen, I'm telling you, because, you know, some of you have had a rough week. Chief among you is myself, maybe. And I understand, what I need to understand, I think what we all need to understand is just that we have a God who gives us these six things that He's going to do. And regardless of how strong Pharaoh may seem in your life right now, and regardless of how much you seem to be enslaved to the dominant culture, that we have to remember He is Yahweh, and He has made certain promises to us, His people, and that He will always keep those promises. So, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God, and then you will know. What will we know? I am Yahweh. I'm Yahweh, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. Number 5, I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll do it. I will. I'll take you from. This again, this is ever and always how God works. He takes you from and brings you to. He takes them from the slavery and from the forced labor, and He brings them to something new. God will always take you from and bring you to something new. But we need to do our part. We need to remember He is Yahweh. And I will give it, number 6, what will He do? I'll give it to you as a possession. And why? Because I am Yahweh. 3 times in those verses, He says that phrase, I am Yahweh, I am Yahweh, I am Yahweh. And therefore, I will do these things. But listen. But they and you and I must do something yet to be revealed in this narrative in order for the I wills to be a reality for us. Tracking? These are promises made by God. He's going to do these 6 things. He's going to take care of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to do his bidding. He's Yahweh. Yet to be revealed, something is incumbent upon me and upon you in order for those I wills to become a reality for us. Does verse 9 break your heart? Moses told this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him. Why? Because of their broken spirit and hard labor. Pharaoh's tactic worked, didn't it? Remember what he said in 5:9? Here's how I'm going to deal with this hardline message from Moses and Aaron. Here's how I'll deal with that. I'll give them forced labor. I'll give them regulations. I will take their straw. I will make sure that they don't meet together. I'm going to scatter them. and they're going to be so preoccupied with dealing with the regulations and all the government edicts coming down and following all the rules and regulations, they're going to be so occupied with that that I will wear them down. I will break their spirits. It worked. Moses is giving them a message of complete delivery. Moses is saying, this is Yahweh. We met with him. And you enslaved ones, here's the great news for you. He's going to do six things. And these are six wonderful things. And he brings it to them, and they don't listen. They can't hear it because their spirits are broken. Do not let the culture break your spirit. Do not let this government break your spirit. Do not let these regulations that are coming down make you so that you can't even listen to the word of God anymore. That is their game plan. Oh, keep them at home. Keep them at home. Separate them. Scatter them. Scare them. You cross us, we've got the answers. You cross us and you're in trouble. You know, there are three times in my career as a healthcare provider that I had three terminally ill patients. Now, I don't mean that I have not dealt with patients that have passed away in that time. I'm talking about three incidences that patients that knew they were terminally ill. Understand? There was no hope. They were aware of it. And I cross the boundaries all the time in my office by dealing with not just the physical, but the spiritual as much as they are receptive, and to the psychological or the mental or emotional. I usually refer them upstairs to Teresa for that kind of thing. But all three of these people were emblematic of verse 9 here. They all shared with me their prognosis and their diagnosis. They all shared with me that they were facing their mortality, that they were going to experience physical death. With all three of them, I shared this, that he is Yahweh. I didn't say that. I said that he is Lord, he is God, and he has promised us to do the following. You see, if you're facing your death, would you not grab at this? All three of them rejected it. I know why. Because we get so beaten down by the dominant culture that our spirits almost become numb. And we can't even hear it anymore. I look at that verse and I put that against what Paul says in Romans 8 about what the Spirit does for us. That the Spirit testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Do you see the difference? Do you see what the Holy Spirit can do for us with this testifying to us of who we are and what we have? And here we have a group of people that are supposed to be God's people. And they've been so chewed up by the culture and so beat up and so humiliated and been made to kowtow and made to think that we have to make the culture happy. That they can't even hear the message of hope anymore. All three of them rejected it. You see, are you ensconced in a culture? Are you enslaved? So I've had some people ask me when they hear these messages, they say, well, give me a practicality, like what do we do? What do we do about this? Because I'm telling you, we're here. America is here. Their entanglement with Egypt, you understand, began as a good thing. Remember? It offered them stability. It offered them food. It offered them security. And slowly, inexorably, imperceptibly, the very thing that seemed to give them protection, stability, and food, that very thing, watch this, they became enslaved to. You see, the leadership in Egypt changed, and they no longer had a friend on the throne. And they were so caught up in the Egyptian culture, they couldn't get out. And so the new Pharaoh comes along. I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm going to exploit that. I have them so enculturated that now I can use that. Does this sound familiar? You see, this is Satan's goal. Break your spirit. And we need to, the reason we meet, we talked about this morning in Teresa's fine class, the reason we meet is so that we remind each other through the Spirit within each of us that we are God's children, and if children, then heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. This can happen. It can happen, and you can't even know it. I'm going to give you an example, and I've used this example before, but it was a singular example to me that I'll never forget. Two times in my life that a red-tailed hawk has had significant impact on me. You want to know how you can become enslaved to the culture and not even know it? And the Israelites had a chance to get out, had a chance. But they didn't. They thought they were in control. They thought they could leave any time. And we're up at Niagara Falls. Judy, I don't know if you remember this. We were young. And it was early fall. Some of you have heard this. And we're standing along the river there, Niagara River, and the falls, you know, are like out to the road here, the falls, you know, you hear him roaring, and here's the river coming down like this, and we're standing there, and there's a carcass that's floating down the river, carcass of some animal. And sitting in the trees by that river was a red-tailed hawk. And it was a chilly morning. And that red-tailed hawk flew out of the tree, landed on that carcass, and sunk its talons into that carcass. The carcass was big enough and heavy enough that the hawk could just ride on it. And while the hawk is on that, its talons sunk into that carcass. It's eating, feasting. It has security. It has food. The falls are coming. The carcass is coming down the river. The hawk is aware of this. But that chilly morning, we're standing there watching this, and a little bit of the water, a little bit of the frost splashing up over the talons of that hawk sunk into that carcass. Froze. Hawk gets several yards from the falls. I see him. He spreads his wings. He's going to take off. He's going to avoid the danger. Spreads his wings. Nothing happens. His talons are frozen in that carcass, and we're all watching this. Tries desperately, tries flapping his wings, tries and tries and tries to get away from that carcass. Over the falls. Now listen to me. And I know of what I speak. This can happen. And you think you're in control. And you think you can pull out of whatever it is that has got you ensconced in this culture and is going to break your spirit. They thought the same thing. And you can think you're going to spread your wings and you're going to fly out of that, and you will not be able to. They couldn't, and neither could that red-tailed hawk. Very powerful lesson for me. Listen, God's people. We need a new exodus from Egypt. How do you do that? Well, I don't imagine we're going to gather our flocks and our herds, and we're not going to hear a trumpet, and we're not going to leave en masse physically. But we need to leave Egypt with our values, our goals, and our commitments. And we need to do it right quick. You know, forget this woke stuff. Being woke is being ensconced in that carcass. Being woke is being friends with Pharaoh so we don't reek before him. We don't compromise on these issues. Thus saith the Lord, I am Yahweh. Revelation, after this I saw another angel with great authority coming down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. He cried in a mighty voice, it has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. She has become a dwelling for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, and a haunt for every unclean and despicable beast. Then I heard another voice from heaven. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins or receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Now, what is Babylon? Then a mighty angel picked up a stone like a large millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, in this way, Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down violently and never be found again. We need a new exodus. Is America the great Babylon? I don't know. It sure fits a lot of the things that is described as Babylon. It can happen so slowly, can it? And then you try and pull out, and you find you're so entangled. It's like the red-tailed hawk. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins or receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven. And listen to this. And God has remembered her crimes. Appropriate for today? I think so. Hard to take a stand? Hard to leave? Yeah. Are you caught up in it? Do you want out? Seems safe? Seem like you can leave anytime? Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would bless this message with your spirit. Amen.